10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I have tried to get somebody to guest star on this show for 2 weeks now, and nobody wants to get near it. It's radioactive.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a radio whiz. His head overflowed with brilliant ideas to make radio great. But his bosses were all idiots, and all they could do is hate. This wizard set off on his own, on his epic quest, to make his show the greatest, better than all the rest, better than all the rest.
And now he's back on the radio with his merry crew,
with Velo, Detective Vic, Thea Landon and her smutty books, the Gaffneys, Dave Scott, Florida Stories, and all the rest, here on Sterling every damn night. Here on Sterling every damn night.
The other day I posted a video about my husband letting me do something and predictably got a lot of women in the comments saying, your husband lets you do something? Yes, he let me do something because my husband is in charge. He is in charge of the household and that's how I like it. Because you know who's in charge if he is not? Me. Do you know what that means? That means that I have to know what's wrong with the car when it makes funny noise. No, thank you. That means I am the one expected to go back to work after the baby's born. Don't want to do that. I am the one that has to plow the driveway and scrape off the cars in the winter when it snows. I hate winter. I hate cold. I don't want to do that. Why can I do all those things? Yes. Do I want to? No. I think that should be a man's job. That's why I married a man, a good man. Maybe if I married a piece of crap, I would feel differently. Probably would, but I didn't. I married a really good man who I might even say 10 out of 10 times, gives me more than what I ask for. When I need to go pick up the animals, he will be the one to drive the trailer into town and back it up and get it. I don't want to do that. Drive a trailer in town? No thanks. So you might not want your husband to do these things for you. I love when he does them for me. So he will continue to stay in charge. That's the way I like it. And that's the way it should be.
I was watching this special on bees, on queen bees, and how the hive works. The way the hive works, there's a queen bee who is physically bigger than the drone bees. And the drone bees are men. And the drone bees, their whole purpose in life is to please the queen bee. That's their purpose. They wake up. Oh, wait, they don't actually ever wake up. They never go to sleep. These are drone bees in service to the queen. They are slaves to the queen. And they're buzzing around the queen. Zzz, zzz. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Bring me some tea. Zzz, zzz, zzz. They go to the store. They get tea. They come home. And the queen bee goes, oh, no, I don't like peppermint tea. I wanted plain Tetley tea, just plain tea. Zzz. No problem, I'll get it. I'll get it, no problem. Zzz. And they go out. And then they come back, and oh, and there's their sister-in-law. And the sister-in-law is like, I'd be good. I don't like the way this floor cleaner smells. I just want plain detergent for just a plain cedar. No, make sure it says no scent. I want a no scent floor cleaner. Zzz, no problem. I'll get it. Zzz, comes back to the hive, puts down the no scent floor cleaner, starts cleaning it up. Oh, and then the queen says, I wanted a whipped cream. I don't want non-fat cream. I don't see the point in that. Zzz, no problem. No problem. And the slave bees all day and night, all they do is try to please the queen. That is their only purpose. And I feel that many of us, many men, are in marriages where they're like in a hive. There's the queen bee issuing orders, and all the purpose of that man is to make the queen, the sister-in-law, the children, the brother-in-law happy. Oh, there's a teenage bee. Oh, here it is. Here's the car you wanted. Do you love it? Well, I was hoping it would be in red. I bet you I can trade it in within the 30 days and won't lose a penny. I'm happy to do it. And that's his life. His life in that marriage is being the drone, being the slave to the queen bee and the queen bee's children and the queen bee's sister-in-law and the queen bee's brother-in-law. That's his whole purpose. And if he can just get it all right at once, he will have made his hive happy. Zzz. Now, he's done it. He's buzzing around, not thinking whether or not he's happy. No one asks the man, are you happy? There are many, many, many sources, many places that ask the woman, the wife, are you happy? How are you feeling? You watch daytime TV. Every daytime TV show is focused on, are you happy? How are you feeling? Here's a new therapy. Have you tried this medicine for your therapy? But none of it is directed at men. Has Stephen Smith on ESPN ever looked in the camera and said, hey, Dad, how are you doing? Are you feeling all right? Is it going okay? Is this what you dreamed of? Is this what you fantasized about when you were alone with the Playboy magazine in your room? Is this what you were dreaming of? No one asked Dad that question. I would say that the most neglected part of American society, the part of American society which is least examined for happiness, least examined for improving their mental state, discovering signs of depression, is the American husband. Is the American husband. You look at our culture and you look at all of the roles. You look at all the identities. Look at each part of our culture and what identity do they have? Look at the identities. I would suggest that the American husband is the one with the least or no identity in our culture. No identity. And he doesn't even know where to look. He doesn't even know what to ask. He doesn't even know it's a problem. He's not allowed to know it's a problem. He's not allowed to know because his identity is defined by the queen bee. 10:15. On the East Coast, 15 minutes past 7 on the West Coast at KFBK, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
This is Matthias Boehm-Bell. Coming up, my Hollywood report on movies, live on Sterling, every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out why a Suffolk County cop's second career lands him in hot water. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Bonanno family says no on taxes. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night. Bad place to rob a bank. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Every damn night from sea to shining sea.
There's Mike Hambrick on Sterling every damn Sunday. Mike, it's very exciting to talk to somebody in Washington, D.C.
How are you doing, Walter? Good evening.
Mike, there was a little whiny and diva nonsense just now that you were told you'd be on at 11 and you couldn't go on now. And I'm like,
no, I was just trying to say I'm going to have to regroup here a second. So
why the heck would you have to regroup? You're a broadcaster. It was 30 minutes, not 30 days.
No, I know. I'm fine. I'm fine. I thought we were going to have more than 10 minutes based on what you said. But no, I understand how it goes.
Hey, let me help you here. The biggest stars in the world, Let me finish. It's my show. The biggest stars in the world get 8 minutes on The Tonight Show. 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones. The other ones get four.
No, I'm not complaining because it wasn't enough time. I was just wanting to make sure that I had what I was doing in order that would, you know, truncate it and be able to do that in 30 seconds. So I'm ready.
I did not want to let you bore people to death. And nobody's on this show more than 10 minutes. That's why I told you to listen to the show.
No, I'm fine. This is not a problem. It's really not.
Now, I want you to share what you were going to talk about, because what you were going to talk about is important. And your thoughts on Charlie Kirk is something that Midnight Misfits need to hear, Mike. And so I'd like you to share that.
Oh, man, you told me to do anything but Charlie Kirk.
No, you told me to read the editorial, and I did.
Yeah, but that was just, you know, and I'll do that if you want me to, but I thought that you didn't want it to be Charlie Kirk.
Well, what would you like to talk
about? I just sent you that so you could see what I was saying.
Well, why would you send me that? I don't need to read up on it. I prepare a show.
I'm sorry. I was just sending it to you so you could see what I write about. That's all. That's all I was doing.
But I don't publish a newspaper. So I'd look at that and say, well, why don't you talk about it on the air?
Okay. If that's what you want me to do, I will do that.
No, what I want you to do is talk about what you want to talk about.
I want to talk about what you want me to talk about, Walter.
That'll go nowhere. So why don't you talk about what you wanted to talk about?
Well, we were going to talk about my book, right?
Talk about your book.
Yeah, and then I thought we were going to segue into.
Are you going to take the whole time on this? You're going to take the whole time on this? We're on the air.
Yeah. Are we talking on the air right now?
Yeah, that's why he went to you after the commercials were over and the jingle started.
Listen, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. I'll do this.
Your book, you're a broadcaster, be a broadcaster. Your book has intrigued one of my good friends. He loves your book. What's the title of your book?
Memphis, the Conspiracy to Assassinate Martin Luther King Jr.
Memphis is easily one of the most evil places I've ever been in my life.
It's the 11th most dangerous city in the world, not just in America, but the world.
Don't care about the world. What rank is it in America?
It's in the top 10. I can't remember what it is.
Try number two. You know,
is it number two? Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Cleveland's number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Detroit's number three.
So it is an evil place, and it is segregated in every way, including the economy. So if you're a radio station and you appeal mostly to white people, you will not get $1 of black business advertising. And if you're a black appealing radio station, you'll not get one nickel of white retail money.
And it's been that way
forever.
As long as I can, forever.
Yeah, forever.
Now,
is your book fiction or nonfiction?
It's historical fiction. It's fiction based on historical fact.
And when I read the book that you've written, Mike Hambrick, when I read the book, what's going to be the most stunning revelation? When I walk away from that book about Memphis, what's the most stunning revelation going to be?
It will be an understanding and a knowledge of the most disparate group of people that ordinarily wouldn't have anything to do with one another. But they came together over one purpose, and that was to assassinate Martin Luther King Jr. And I'm talking about from the White House of LBJ to J. Edgar Hoover to the CIA, all the way down to the Dixie Mafia and the racist police department in Memphis.
How many people were involved in the conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King?
Well, the key leaders, I would at least 20.
How do you get 20 people to keep quiet?
Well, it was a different world. And there are things that have come forth in mock trials but sworn depositions of people confirming that that it was J. Edgar Hoover that actually led the effort, choreographed the effort, ramrodded the effort to kill King. He set up and paid the warden of the Missouri State Prison in Jefferson City $25,000 to fake James L. Ray's escape. It wasn't escape. They let him go. And they were, they let him go on April 4th, 1967. 1 year later, April 4th, 1968, pretty cynical, is when they shot and killed King. But they managed him for over a year, moved him around under the auspices that, you know, you need to be part of our arms deal. We're going to take care of you. We're not going to go back to prison. You'll make some money. We'll send you to a country where there is no extradition, and you'll have a good life. But you need to do this for us, and this for us, and this for us for a year. And they handled him all the way up until April 4th, 1968.
Did they send him back to jail after they got him out?
Well, yeah, they did. They captured him, and they put him up. I mean, this was... There was so much information that came so quickly on after the assassination of Charlie Kirk,
right.
But that's because we have the advances in technology. The same speed with no technology, the same speed was used to put all the information up right after King was assassinated on James L. Ray. I mean, they had his bio, they had his picture, they had building the whole case against him, and it was choreographed. There was no question about it. Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's wife, was on record saying that it was a government conspiracy, that James Earl Ray was not the shooter. She was convinced of that after seeing all the evidence, the files coming forward, as I say, sworn depositions and mock trials, and the research that people did for 40 years or so. And that's what I based... It was a compilation of that research that I based the assassination of King part of the book. See, I was in Memphis when King was killed, right? I was a rock DJ. And I wrote
Where?
At WMC FM 100.
Biggest signal in the city.
Yeah, it was 300,000 watts.
Yeah, biggest signal in the city. Now, what's Mike Hamburg, what's the name of the book?
Memphis, the conspiracy to assassinate Martin Luther King Jr.
Memphis,
and you can get it at BookBaby, BookBaby.com.
Memphis, the conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King Jr. in the primordial soup of evil known as Memphis, Tennessee. Now, Mike is an incredibly talented broadcaster and a great author. This book, I don't do books, but this book, I went, oh my gosh, this is some story. An amazing story about the conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King by Mike Hambrick. The conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King, Memphis. Amazing. Thank you so much for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
Well, thank God it's a Mateus, Boom, Boom, Hollywood. Is that the name on your birth certificate?
No, it actually isn't. That name was born about a little over a year ago when I joined this great program, and I think it was the child of Walter Sterling, who I'm very pleased to talk with tonight. It's a lovely thing. I mean, I know Boom Boom Mancini and the other Boom Booms, but that was when that was born, and you know it's going to stick.
I meant Mateus.
Well, hey, you work too, and here we are. You've had quite a show this evening. I've learned a lot
exhausted.
About the queen bees.
I'm exhausted. I'm done. There's no more for me to do tonight. I feel as though I've earned every penny, and that's exactly what it is. It's a penny, maybe two pennies. Mateus, this is a very exciting movie that you're going to share with us tonight because it has sex.
Yes, there is sex, and it's provided by two really good-looking actors. Isn't that why we go see movies? I should say an actor and an actress. You know, now in Hollywood, they call everybody an actor. But, you know, if you look as beautiful as Margot Robbie, I'm just going to say she's an actress. I mean, she is fabulous, the lovely Australian Margot Robbie. You know, remember her in Wolf of Wall Street? That was her big breakout role with DiCaprio. Speaking of DiCaprio, next week we'll talk about his new movie. But in this movie, she and Colin Farrell have a big, bold, beautiful adventure. That's the name of the movie. And it's a movie that's unlike anything else. Once in a while, Walter, they come out with a completely original idea for a movie story. It doesn't happen a lot in the world of remakes and reboots.
Right. What's the idea? What is the idea?
Well, the idea is this. This is this guy, Colin Farrell. He's late to a wedding. His car has a boot on it with tickets on it. On the wall next to where his car is parked, there's a sign saying rental car service. So he goes there in this rather, you know, dark, crepuscular alley, you know, really dark and mysterious, and sort of twilight. And he gets in there. And inside there, there is the guy that rents the car. He has only one car in there. It's a Saturn, a late model Saturn that's not even made anymore. I'm not kidding. And the guy that's renting him this car is none other than Kevin Klein. So they insist you can take this car to your wedding, but you need to have our special GPS with it. And is that any extra? No, but you'll want our GPS. So he takes the GPS. He goes to the wedding. He meets Margot Robbie there, and the attraction is instant. And as he leaves the wedding, he was going to try and, you know, maybe hook up with her at the wedding. It doesn't quite happen because he just didn't assert himself enough. He gets in the car. The GPS asks him as he's coming home, would you like to go on a big, bold, beautiful adventure? And he figuring, what have I got to lose? Sure. So the GPS guides him to different spots, and at each spot he encounters Margot Robbie, who is in an identical Saturn car with a different GPS that was supplied by the same rental place. So what they end up doing is they go to these GPS points where the car is telling them to go, and at each one of these points, stay with me, there is a big doorway, like in the middle of a field or some other thing. So they open this door, they walk into it, and in each instance, they both are able to go to a point in their life in the past. So you get to know this couple the way you would when you're getting to know anyone, as they tell you stories of their life. But these doorways depict their past, and they learn about each other in this way. It's a very original idea and almost arty, I would say, almost on the arty side, which you would call an NPR movie. But I just thought it was completely original, completely entertaining, and I love looking at Margot Robbie on the screen. So that is a big, bold, beautiful journey, and as a result, it's one of my favorite movies this year.
And what's it called again?
A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey.
And the it does sound like a fascinating idea, and because it is so high concept, they actually pulled it off?
Yeah, the movie is really good. Now, the public doesn't seem to be aware of it because it's only been playing 3 days, and it's way down on the box office. The big box office movie this week is Demon Slayer, which is an animated cartoon. That thing is from Sony, has done like $17 million. Unfortunately, A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey by day three has only made $3 million. It's down at number six. As far as an entertaining, good movie, original idea with capable actors, this is the movie to see this weekend.
Margot Robbie's Australian, but so is Colin Firth.
You mean Colin Farrell?
Yeah, what you said.
But Colin, he's Irish. Farrell. He's not Australian. He's Irish.
Yes, but all part of the Commonwealth.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
if you want to look at it that way.
Now, when you were watching Margot Robbie, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, when you were watching Margot Robbie, at what point did you think, is she eating enough?
Is she eating enough?
Did you ever think that? Were you worried about her eating and the cheeseburger she needs?
No, I don't actually. I think of the cheeseburger I need, but never her. She's got such big luminous eyes, and she's just so well put together in her beautiful blonde hair. Although she's not a blonde in this movie, more of a redhead. But she's fun. She's fun on the screen. She's engaging, and she's really great in this. They both do very well in this very clever film.
And, you know, because Margot Robbie is a true classic beauty, It says so much about us and our culture as men that Sydney Sweeney far outshines her at this moment in history, that we spend at least 10 minutes a day thinking about Sydney Sweeney and no time at all thinking about Margot Robbie.
Well, I'd have to counter that because I think more about Margot Robbie than Sydney Sweeney, and not just when she's on the screen in the movie I'm watching.
The other thing I needed to mention to you, and you can save me a phone call by answering this, every Friday night in Philadelphia, we're on six nights a week. You can hear me on the Odyssey app, six nights a week, 10 p.m. Eastern. On Fridays, from now until the middle of December, they air this high school football show, and it's the best programming they could possibly do, but it means that your usual Friday night show isn't slotted. Would you be willing to do the Friday night movie review for the weekend on Thursday nights?
Well, I can when I'm available, but often those are nights that I'm actually in a theater getting ready to see the movie that I talk about on Sunday. So occasionally I can do this, but I just can't do it with regularity as I do religiously every Sunday.
Regularity, a problem for men of a certain age, I understand. Thank you very much, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood. Thank you for being on Sterling Every Damn Sunday. It's Walter M. Sterling. We're live. Did you hear me? You find me another show that's, you think the Lutheran Hour is live now? No. Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out why a Suffolk County cop's second career lands him in hot water. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Bonanno family says no on taxes. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling Every Damn Night. Bad place to rob a bank. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Lesbians in space.
Date idea, since football season is coming up, we watch every single football game together, and whenever there's a first down, we kiss. Because who doesn't love football and kissing? I know I do.
Sterling, Sterling, every damn night. No one you know makes better radio. And you know Sterling, Sterling is live from the laundry room. If the noise level gets higher, it's probably just the dryer.
Feel the dough, eat the dough. J.B. Bakery, Selena and Steve, Sterling Every Damn Night.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, from J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, here we have Selena Ballerina, who's a beauty queen, a pageant girl, and the baker, Stephen, who owns the bakery, makes spectacular baked goods, and is going to learn before I die how to ship nationwide. Now, here you have a nationwide platform to celebrate your incredible baked goods, and you have no distribution business to the rest of the country outside of Jersey. When are you going to fix that, Stephen?
Well, I'm definitely going to be using your expertise. There's definitely a platform for it.
I have no expertise. I am a host of a radio show. I have no idea about shipping.
Well, Selena and I have been talking about this, and since she's out of college now, we could be working on this kind of adventure and business expansion that could definitely fill the needs of the Midnight Misfits that would really enjoy baked goods from J.B. Bakery.
Exactly. Now, Selena, do you have a beauty tip as a pageant girl?
I do. So now that the weather is cooling off for the fall, I'm going to be wearing a lot more makeup. Usually for the summer, I keep it light. But it's really important to use a primer so that your makeup doesn't clog your pores and keeps your skin nice and fresh all day.
What brand primer do you recommend?
I've been using the e.l.f. Super Goop, I think it's called. It's like a drugstore brand primer, but honestly, it's one of the better ones that I've used.
And you get it at drugstores? I don't have to waste money at Sephora?
Yep, you don't even have to go to Sephora or deal with any of the makeup people. If they're going to ask you too many questions, you can sneak into CVS and you can use a self-checkout. So it's perfect. You don't have to talk to anybody.
Do you find it offensive that since you do have a job, that they ask you to self-checkout?
You know, it depends. Sometimes I think, you know, I'd rather just have someone ring me up. But also, you know, if I'm in Midnight Misfit mode and I really don't want to talk to anybody, it is nice to just be able to go and ring myself out quietly and just leave the store.
I noticed that when I went to get toothpaste at CVS this week, the toothpaste was all behind the plexiglass. And I wasn't going to wait for a guy to come and undo the plexiglass. And then over there, on the shelf next to the plexiglass toothpaste, there was toothpaste that was not behind the plexiglass. It was Tom's toothpaste, the entire variety of Tom's toothpaste, and they were not behind the plexiglass. Now, why would Tom's toothpaste not need the plexiglass, but Colgate does?
I don't know, but maybe it's because they're paying for advertising. They might be paying to lock the other toothpaste up so that they sell more of their toothpaste.
This, Stephen, is why you need to put her in charge of everything. Because I thought about this for 2 weeks and couldn't come close to that answer, and I bet she's right. They're paying a shelf allowance to not be behind the plexiglass. And that, in fact, that might be the secret business model of the plexiglass. Oh, you don't want your product behind the plexiglass? No problem. Pay a higher shelf allowance. That could, Selena, that's brilliant.
Thank you. I'll have to go in and we'll have to put the bakery products out behind plexiglass, too.
Brilliant. So, Steve, are you annoyed already at all the pumpkin spice things you have to make?
I enjoy making them, and there is a lot. There absolutely are a lot of different kind of pumpkin spice things to make. However, I do enjoy it, and the pumpkin cheesecake donut that I'm making, that is just flying out the door. That pumpkin cheesecake, it's combined with a nice cream cheese and pumpkin puree, and then I stuff it into the soft JB Bakery donut. And what's fun about this is that I put a caramel glaze on top, and I dip it in something that's more unique than usual that would probably not be found at any donut shop. Fresh baked pie crumbles. It's like pie crust crumbles. So that is what's put on top. So it's a topping, actually. Combined with the caramel and the cheesecake pumpkin filling makes a delectable donut that's only enjoyed this time of year.
That sounds amazing. Do you have a recipe for us tonight?
I have something unique that would be good to bring to like a fall get together, maybe like a Halloween party soon or a fall festival. It's called pumpkin dump cake, and it's called dump cake because everything gets piled into a glass casserole pan. And what's easy about this is that it's not pumpkin pie. So it's easier. You don't have to make a pie crust. So it's basically making pumpkin pie baked into a casserole dish, and then it has a crumble on top, which is simply enough taking a box of cake mix, mixing it with butter, and sprinkling it on top, baking it into the casserole pan, and then you have this beautiful crust, golden crust, when it comes out. And you scoop it out with a spatula, throw some ice cream on top. And what's fun about dump cake is you just say it at a party and they're like, oh, wow, what's a dump cake? People are excited about it. You're the person that brings, you know, the unique dessert. And, you know, they talk about you, you know, all throughout the party.
Steve and Selena of JB Bakery, if you send me a note, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail, I will send you his recipe for that breathtaking dump cake. And oh my gosh, look at this. Oh my gosh, look. My blood sugar meter has spiked and I haven't even eaten any of it yet. Just hearing of it, just manifesting it in my brain, my blood sugar has gone through the roof. That means it's a great bakery product, JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. Thank you both very much. It is 10:56 on the East Coast, 7:56 on the West Coast. This is a live radio show throughout North America. It is the only live thing available anywhere. And Nick and Chris, Midnight Misfits tonight. This entire show is dedicated to Nick and Chris, two very bright gentlemen in the Philadelphia area. I am proud to have you listening to this show. It means more to me than you can imagine, because Nick and Chris have a spectacular and interesting job, and I'm keeping it confidential, but the fact that they listen to this show means a lot to me. It means a lot to me. That's all. That's all I have. Do you want to be a Midnight Misfit? Here's what you do. You go to waltersterlingshow.com, and you click on Midnight Misfit on that tab, waltersterlingshow.com. And
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on a Sunday night. When there's major traffic trouble in America, I share it with you because this show is live. Walter Sterling, good evening. It's Sunday night in America. Exit 82 in Toms River, New Jersey is closed due to a motor vehicle accident involving an overturned car that went 20 feet into the woods. It overturned and went 20 feet into the woods, closing exit 82, Toms River, New Jersey. When there's major traffic, I will share it with you because this is radio. I actually had to write an article in one of the trade publications this week just to corrective programming. Every now and then I write a column for my alleged colleagues from my youth that's corrective programming. And I'm like, I'm going to tell you the column I had to write. You ready for this? This is so embarrassing. I wrote a column saying, you know, it's a really good idea to actually do the weather. What? Yeah, it's a good idea to do the weather. If you search Google Trends, which is always fun, you type in Google Trends and you see what people are searching for. And you can compare words. You can compare things and see what's being searched more. You put in weather, Trump, Jesus, sex. Put in those four words. Weather, Trump, Jesus, sex. What do they search the most? Weather. And the geniuses who I work with say things like, well, you know, they can get their weather in a lot of places now. They don't have to get it from the radio. Yeah, but if you and I are in the car and we're driving and the radio's on, that's where I want to get the weather. And because it's radio, I believe it's live and current more than anything else. But the first time there was a slip on this was like 25 years ago when radio stations started making a deal with an upstart weather cable channel called The Weather Channel. Maybe it's 30 years ago now, right? They started making a deal with The Weather Channel. Weather Channel Weather. I'm like, what? Weather Channel Weather brought to you by WFIL. I'm like, what? Weather Channel Weather. On WGN, like what we can do weather. We don't need the Weather Channel, which had fewer viewers than any radio station. Why are we promoting cable? Why is radio making cable bigger? It made no sense to me. When HBO started, there were very serious meetings taking place at NBC Television, at the television network, and they debated whether or not to take advertising for HBO, advertising on the NBC television network to promote HBO. And they decided it was okay. I'm like, are you out of your mind? You're just going to make HBO bigger, faster. It's going to happen fast enough. And pretty soon, HBO got rid of movie nights. Every television network used to have a movie night, or two, or three, or four, or five, where they ran movies from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Yeah, really? Saturday night, NBC's Saturday Night at the Movies. Oh, and people used to watch movies on over-the-air television, and they were very excited. Well, HBO killed that real fast. Nobody wanted to see the NBC Saturday Night at the Movies ever again. Now, I have to talk to you about something that's painful and difficult, and it's why I'm in a crappy mood. No, not the usual reasons. I'm not that fat anymore. I've lost a lot of weight. I'm svelte. I do need a haircut, and I should be in a brilliant mood because the Queen Bee is not home. My Queen Bee is not at home all this week and for the next 4 days. I'm in heaven. This is a total vacation, and it's one of those things like I hate street fairs that I'm not allowed to say. I'm not allowed to say, oh, my wife's away for 10 days. I couldn't be happier. I'm not allowed to say that. It is verboten. It is not part of our culture to admit to anybody that I'm happy when my wife's out of town. Oh, you don't love your wife? I love my wife. What's the matter? I'm happy when she's out of town because I like to be alone. I like to be alone.
I'm so sick of people not understanding that sometimes I just don't want to. Like, I'm not in a crisis. I'm not depressed. I'm not sick. I'm not even busy. I just don't want to. I don't want to hang out. I don't want to text you back. I don't want to answer the phone. And people seem to think that it's personal. It's not. You didn't do anything wrong. I just don't want to. What's funny is that if I say, oh, I'm busy, people respect it. Or, oh, I'm not feeling so well, people understand. But as soon as I say, oh, I just don't feel like it, apparently I'm the villain. No, I love you. I like you. I will see you, but just not today. Because today, I just don't feel like it. Like, I don't want to. I just feel like we need to normalize that. Because sometimes the only reason and the honest reason is no reason at all.
We have three cats. I love our cats. A boy, a girl, and another girl. We got the boy and the girl at the same time. Samson and Delilah. Original, yes. Then, a few months later, maybe like 2 years later, we got the third cat, Lily. And Lily, these are indoor cats. One of them, the guy, he can sort of go out, but I never let him out without taking my eyes off. I never take my eyes off him. An outdoor cat's a dead cat. And he always comes right back in when I call him. And I don't do it often. Don't get excited. But yesterday, Lily, the beautiful black and white girl, got out. She got out. She snuck out. She's still out. She's still out in the thunderstorm and the rain. And she sleeps with my 13-year-old. And she belongs to my 20-year-old. And Lily isn't home. And I have a big problem. Because only the 13-year-old knows this. And she's crying every 10 minutes. There's problem number one. Problem number two, the rest of the family doesn't know because they're out of town. Two of them are at college. One of them's in Italy, thank God. There's no quick way to get back. And I've put in all the ads. I've put up all the information. I've shared it with all my neighbors. And I've put out food in the front steps and the back steps. And yes, I've heated up tuna. If you have any suggestions on how to get a very domestic indoor cat to come home, I would appreciate it. 855-839-1210. It's a live radio show. 855-839-1210. My girl cat, who's an indoor cat, snuck out yesterday, and I need to know how to get her back in. We live in a house, not an apartment. I wish I lived in an apartment. You know why? Because that would mean I'm single. How do I get my cat that went outside to come back in? It isn't like she's mad or anything. She just is flaky and went outside and is looking around. looking around. But I'm nervous about this. This is scary. That cat has to come home or I might as well just move. What do I do? How do I get that cat to come back in? You have a cat. I know you do because you're listening to the radio at this time. No one normal listens. No dog people are listening. Thank God. 855-839-1210 is my phone number. 855-839-1210. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday night.
Sterling every night. The car is alive. Neon lights flicker.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, there's a wild story coming out of Long Island, where a veteran Suffolk County cop admitted he moonlighted as a pimp as part of a sleazy Long Island prostitution ring, according to prosecutors. Popo pimp George Trimalagosi, 56 years old, copped to co-managing a Holbrook brothel at American Girl Spa for nearly 5 years as part of a sordid sex ring that allegedly included a local gym teacher, the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office announced this week. The 18-year police veteran, one of three ringleaders, was a six-time cop of the month before getting busted. Now he faces up to 2 years behind bars. Prosecutors said sex ringleader Frank Saggio, now this sounds like The Sopranos, and his 33-year-old mistress, Dana Ciardulo, ran three brothels on Long Island between 2019 and last year, including the Holbrook spot, co-managed by off-duty cop Trimalagosi, and a West Babylon location also called the Tunnel of Love. Saggio, a reputed mob associate whose ritzy Fire Island pad was seized by authorities, agreed to pay $1.9 million in forfeiture and faces a prison sentence of 2 to 6 years when he returns to court on December 18th, the DA's office said. His girlfriend, Ciardulo, agreed to a six-month prison sentence, and she returns to court on November 12th. The trio charged sex workers between $6,000 and $12,000 a month to operate at the brothels. Can you imagine the amount of money that must have been running through this place? Trimalagosi allegedly ran American Girl Spa with disgraced Islip School District's gym teacher, Stephen Avery, 53 years old, who's also charged in the scam, but has not been convicted or pled guilty. Well, someone's got to keep these girls in shape. Avery, a 26-year employee of the Islip school system before getting fired, was indicted on charges of enterprise corruption, which is like the state version of a RICO charge, and 27 counts of promoting prostitution. What's promoting prostitution? I guess you sent out an ad. Meanwhile, prosecutors said that on March 19, 2021, Trimalagosi, the cop, abandoned his post and spread to the Holbrook brothel at 90 miles an hour to respond to a report of a robbery at this location. Hey, you got to protect your investment. The ex-cop and his accomplices were also busted in April, pled guilty on Friday to charges of enterprise corruption, promoting prostitution, and other charges, prosecutors said. Trimalagosi also pled guilty. Boy, this guy's got problems. Pled guilty to official misconduct and is facing an additional 30-day sentence after pleading guilty to unlawful imprisonment for holding a woman captive inside his personal car. You can't make this stuff up, folks. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
Hey, 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 more nonsense, Sterling every damn night.
Father Jim Drucker, a Air Force captain, retired, a Catholic priest, retired, works with the VA system to help our veterans in the hospitals adjust to their injuries and their life. And I thank you, Father Drucker, for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Walter, it's always a delight and a pleasure to be with you and to share with you thoughts of my faith. And my background in radio. It's really a pleasure.
Father Drucker is one of the best top 40 disc jockeys who ever lived. He was on the best top 40 station there ever was, which was WARM in Scranton, programmed by the smartest program director I ever knew. Consider The Source. Now, Father Drucker, I know that you were very sad about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I'd like, and it's disturbed the universe. This has been a disturbance in the universe, in the force. What would you suggest to those who cared about him, saw the tragedy? Here was a young father murdered in front of his wife and children. This is hard to contextualize. Maybe we're not supposed to. Spiritual advice on dealing with this day, Father Drucker.
The thought that comes to me immediately is the word martyr. Now, that can be bantered around and made more than it is, less than it is. It simply means someone who has shed their life, their blood, in love for God. In the first century, there was a great saint that said the blood of martyrs is the seed of faith of future followers. Needless to say, I did not know this young man's work a lot. I've since researched some. He seemed to be a marvelous man. He was certainly not perfect, no more than any of us, but he had a message and he had love. And he was trying to share that. It was as simple as that. And his life was taken from him. And as I see what happened today with the president and many people who gathered around the mortal remains of this young man, 31 years old, how sad. The Spirit of God is even stronger than it's ever been. Truly, this young man is a martyr for the faith of God, the God he believed in, Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. Now, I know your audience has disparities, has differing people of different faiths. As a military chaplain, when I pray, we're taught, and I believe in this emphatically, that we're to pray generically or pluralistically is the correct word. But in this case, I'm taking that all back because Charlie was a man of faith who believed in the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. That was his whole life. And this organization, the Turning Point, was the physical part, the proof of that faith. I actually watched a few interviews today with him bantering with people. And again, in the bantering, some of the bantering was back and forth and one gain, one loss. But it was actual talk. It was love. It was sharing. But to take the life of a human being and a soul, to take that soul from this earth back to God is a terrible, terrible sin. And yet God has made it something, in a way, wonderful as a martyr that Charlie has given his life. And his wife has taken over to continue to spread the word of God and the goodness of what this man stood for.
Father Jim Drucker talking to us about Charlie Kirk and the 200,000 people who showed up at his funeral today, and the President of the United States acknowledging what a wonderful and a great man he was. A number one, a great father. That's job number one, and he did job number one. Father Jim Drucker, I appreciate it. And if you want to meet Father Jim Drucker and you're in Jersey, you can go to JB Bakery, and there you will see him sponging off of the bakery, eating things that he didn't even pay for. But that's the great privilege of being a priest. Thank you very much, Father Drucker. Thank you for being on Sterling Every Damn Sunday. My number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And my 13-year-old and I have a challenge. Our magnificent cat, our baby cat, ran out yesterday. She's not an outdoor cat. She's an indoor cat. And I need your advice on how to get that cat back indoors before the rest of the family finds out. And at which point I might as well just move into a tent many miles away. Here's my number. Advice on how to get that outdoor cat back in. 855-839-1210. I have an email. Don't email. No, I'm not going to give it to you because then you'll email me. I don't want you to email me. I want you to call me. 855-839-1210. Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Sterling Every Damn Night. Sometimes you want to go where nobody knows the manager's name. And the service is really lame.
is Rob Williams. Tonight, an all-new episode of Drive Through Brew. Unless you're hearing it later as a rerun. Young Jake has just returned to the drive-thru from his first cruise vacation. Let's listen in as he and the manager discuss his adventures.
Well, morning, Gilligan. How was the 3-hour tour?
Ha ha. It was pretty good. In fact, I actually made a nice bundle of cash.
At the casino?
No, I lost money there. There was an art auction.
The art auction? How did you make money there?
It's kind of a long story, but if you're nice, I'll shorten it to a couple hours.
Go ahead.
So I went there because I heard they were giving out free champagne. Plus, someone told me that a lot of the art was kind of weird.
So what happened?
So first the auctioneer brought out a junky looking landscape, said he was painted by Bob Ross's former termite inspector, and was sure to go up in value.
Suddenly, I'm not sure I want to hear this, but go on. What was the picture of?
The guy said it was a scenery, meadow, and twilight, surrounded by wind-blown trees. But I thought it looked more like a deserted junkyard with Pyre's old tiles, you see. So I didn't bid.
Wise move.
Then he showed a velvet picture of a rhino, a lion, and a zebra playing Wheel of Fortune. And I kind of liked it, but I passed.
So how did you make your money?
Actually, on one of the ugliest paintings. It was an abstract. And nothing but brown and red squiggly lines on an orange and green background. It kind of looked like a blind chimp could have painted it.
I've seen stuff like that.
So, being a little drunk, I bought it for $50, thinking I'd use it as a dartboard or maybe give it to my brother as a joke at Christmas.
$50, though.
But listen, when I was heading back to my cabin with it, a guy who was drunk and real seasick accidentally...
Stop there. I know what you're gonna say.
And he felt so bad he paid me $100 on the spot.
So you doubled your money.
More than that. The next day I cleaned it up a little and sold it back to the auction guy for $300. He asked what I'd done to make it so much more appealing, but I didn't tell him.
I know, but look, it could happen. Some dude duct taped a banana to a wall and sold it for $6 million. But never mind that. Listen next time when Jake says,
I'm getting to like art, Mr. Manager. Do we still got one of those smashed up moon pies that I run over with the forklift?
That's next time on Drive Through Brew. Rob Williams still speaking.
It's 11:40 on the East Coast. Walter M. Sterling at 855-839-1210. That is the live phone number. My cat, indoor cat, has decided to go outside. Tips on how to get the cat inside. Nick in Pittsburgh on KDKA. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Walter. How are you?
I'm excited to talk to you, as you can imagine. I'm sure most people are excited to talk to you.
Okay. This worked for me one time. I put the litter box outside.
How interesting and how counterintuitive, because I figured they could go anywhere outside. My instinct was to put out a bowl of her food.
I was going to try that, and then actually I talked to my vet, and he said, don't put the food out, put the litter box out.
Wow.
And I did. And also, if your cat has a blanket or something that it lays on all the time, you can put that on also.
Nick, I did that, and then, of course, it rained. So the blanket's out there, but the blanket's soaked. But the litter box, I had never thought of. That's amazing. Yeah. Nick, anything else?
Yeah, well, when I did that, and I went out to check in the morning, and he was laying on the blanket, and he used the litter box.
That's hysterical. That's great. So, and he never got out again, did he?
No.
Nick, you're great. I appreciate you listening to Sterling every damn Sunday. There's Linda in Colfax. Welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday, Linda. Hi, at 855-839-1210. How do I get the indoor cat to come back inside?
Yes. I think I have maybe a solution. By the way, I don't usually call in, but this touched my heart. Your poor kitty cat. And anyway, I was going to suggest that you, I've had a cat disappear on me, and this is what I did. I walked around a pretty wide scope of the neighborhood and called the cat's name, and, you know, kitty, kitty, and shake the kitty food in the bag. It might work. It worked for me anyway.
How long did it take before your cat came running toward you?
Well, actually, it didn't come running. She was cowered down like something had chased her, like a dog or something. She didn't come running. But how long did it take? Probably, you know, it didn't take that long. I'd say a day.
That's a long time.
Well,
when you're waiting for your cat, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I was just glad she was still alive.
Exactly, Linda. I appreciate that. I'm glad you like the show, Linda. It's astonishing, isn't it, that this show is the only one that doesn't scream at the Democrats? Isn't that amazing?
That is very amazing. You do a good job.
I appreciate that from you. Thank you very much for calling 855-839-1210. Tips on how to get the cat to come back inside. It ran out yesterday. It was a devil. Never goes outside. It's not an outdoor cat. Never had any interest in going outside. All of a sudden, boom, it goes outside. I'm like, what the heck are you doing? And didn't come back in, which was even more amazing. My hunch is that the cat is about 20 feet away from the door, hiding in the bushes, because it's all new, so she's probably overwhelmed and scared. And I put out a dish of food, but she hasn't touched that yet. And fortunately, the possum, the skunks, the raccoon haven't touched that yet either. There's a variety of zoo animals available at any given time that could eat her. That's what worries me. I'm worried she's going to have a run-in with a raccoon or a possum. Possums terrify me. I'm not a real man. You know, I know nothing about football. I know that the Jaguars, with my bro crush, won today, Trevor Lawrence, and all of my in-laws and relatives are very excited that the Browns won today. But that's the beginning, middle, and end of what I know about football. Therefore, I'm not like a real man. When I see a possum, I don't want to shoot it and eat it the way many men do. No, I don't want to know about it. But I'd like to know how to get the female cat to come back into the house. She's an indoor cat. All advice welcome. Phone number 855-839-1210. From Sterling every damn Sunday night.
RCI Holdings, better well known as Rick's Cabaret, owns strip clubs all over the United States. Probably one right in your town. And apparently, according to an indictment, strip club executives hit up a New York official to avoid paying $8 million in taxes. Prosecutors said, yeah, they were giving away free lap dances to a government official. Huh. Houston-based RCI Hospitality Holdings, its corporate leaders received favorable treatment during at least six tax audits that were performed under a decade in exchange for the perks given to a state auditor. That's what New York Attorney General Letitia James says. I think this woman's a killjoy. Gotta make some money. Money good, dancing good. Letitia James alleges RCI gave the auditor at least 13 complimentary trips to Florida, including hotels, meals, and up to
$5,000 a day for private dances at his strip clubs, including Tootsie's Cabaret. Tootsie's Cabaret. Yeah, for the guy who likes the feet. All the dancers there, all the lady dancers have amazing feet. Yeah. The auditor also received free dances, food, and admission to the clubs in New York. RCI is publicly traded on the NASDAQ Composite, owns and operates 60 clubs. Yeah, not so good. And at one point, they had a capo in the Bonanno family in their Las Vegas operation. Nothing wrong with that at all. Love me the Bonannos. They're good people. From the champagne room, trying to pay my taxes. This is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
How do I get my cat that's an indoor cat to come back in? Ran out, never runs out. All of a sudden it ran out, and I need to get her back in because it's my 13-year-old daughter's cat. You can imagine the minefield that I'm sitting in right now. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Michael at KFBK, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday night. Hello, Michael.
Yeah.
Hey, sir. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I've been enjoying the conversation. I feel for you with the cat.
Thank you.
Linda was onto something with the surveying the neighborhood and shaking the shaking the cat food bag or whatever. But I was going to ask you, Sterling, what is it you feed your cat ordinarily?
Dry food.
Okay, so future reference then. So what I do for my cats to like give it kind of bump it up from what Linda's idea was, which works really well, I give them some wet food, not all the time, but periodically. It kind of creates it, and they really seem to enjoy it. So, but when I'm giving them the wet food, I click the can. And so now they make an association with the can click to the cat food. So now if they're out or they don't want to come in or they got out inadvertently, I click the can. They know it's the extra special food. So it's kind of a double incentive.
Well, you're absolutely right. Every few weeks, I give them the canned food, and they run from God knows where to that bowl when they hear that can click. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. Works. And what frustrates me is I did that today. I did it at the front door and the back door, and she hasn't shown up yet.
Worrisome. You don't have a garage, do you?
We don't use it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, well, recently, my cat didn't come in, and my cats are indoor-outdoor cats, but I keep them in at night just for safety's sake and don't run into other wild animals, et cetera. Right. Anyway, they ordinarily come in willingly, you know, and if I resort to the can, et cetera, but this one cat didn't come in, and I was like, oh, I was worried about it, et cetera. And lo and behold, later on, I found out that it hadn't, somehow I'd gotten into the garage. So make sure you check your garage, too.
No,
if it isn't your garage, then undoubtedly, if all those tricks didn't work, it probably landed in some neighbor's garage.
Yeah, or she's such a scaredy cat, and she's never done it before. She's probably sitting behind the garage and just waiting, just like waiting.
Yeah, well, I don't sleep well when my cat doesn't come in, so gosh, I hope it resolves for you and your daughter and family, et cetera, and the cat, of course.
Michael, thank you very much. Think good thoughts about our cat. Thank you, Michael, from Napa. Welcome to Sterling every damn night. Lily, welcome to Sterling every damn night. Hi, Lily.
I listen to you every damn night, too. I adore your show. You're fantastic. Wow. I'm heartsick about your kitty. I'm a cat lover, and I'm elderly. At one time, I had 9 cats.
Yes.
The suggestion I have worked, take an article of your daughter's clothing that she wore, and it may be her favorite pillowcase or something with her scent on it.
Right.
And put that by her food dish, or if you put the litter box out there by the litter box.
Great advice. Have not done that. I will do that the minute I get off the air. Thank you. And how's life, Lily? How are you doing?
I'm doing well for an 82-year-old.
Well, you sound not a second over 52.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I have a miracle story about one of my daughter's cats, 15 years old, indoor cat, got out last June, a year ago. And they searched high and low. Lo and behold, the day before Christmas Eve that year, she saw a picture on the county website. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, my gosh, it looks like Hal. She called immediately. They lived around the corner. And she met Christmas Eve. And long and the short story end, it was Hal.
It was Hal. It was a Christmas miracle. And, Lily, I thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for the call. Lily had a Christmas miracle. The cat does come home. I know that cat's going to come home. 855-839-1210. How do I get that cat who's an indoor cat to come back inside? Walter M. Sterling, email waltermsterling@gmail, website waltersterlingshow.com. That's where you go to find out how to be a midnight misfit. You go to waltersterlingshow.com. And you will find out how to be a midnight misfit. Congratulations, it's a live radio show, Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
What? What? It's live?
Sterling every night.
Dave is an expert on UFOs, portals, time travel, everything that's factual. Dave Scott, do you have a cat?
I have two cats, number one.
Well, we have three, and one of them yesterday, they're all indoor cats, and one of them yesterday decided to go outside. And she hasn't come back in yet, and that one's attached to the 13-year-old daughter. I need tricks on how to get that cat back inside. Have you ever had this experience? Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, I am the wrong person to ask for that, my friend, because, you know, I am just not a good cat person. My cats tolerate me. Mm. They don't love me, but they tolerate me. Mm. And, you know, any chance they get, they'll put their claws into me. Even though I try to show them love and affection, they're just, you know, one of those animals that just doesn't like old Davey.
Well, Dave, what do you have to report on all things UFO, UAP, and government conspiracies, things we like?
Well, I have a couple of war stories here that you will be interested in because it gets into history and everything. So we'll start off here today in Creepy History. This is provided by Creepy Acres Online on Facebook. I love this site. And apparently this happened in Chickamauga Creek, Georgia, where legend claims that this small waterway's Cherokee name translates in English to River of Death, a fitting name as it was the site of the second bloodiest battle of the American Civil War. The Battle of Chickamauga raged for 3 days. It left 4,000 soldiers dead, 6,000 missing, and another 24,000 wounded.
Whoa.
Huge numbers.
Huge.
Perhaps more disturbing is that some soldiers claimed a hideous, inhuman monster with stringy hair and monstrous fanged mouth and glowing green eyes could be seen at night, prowling among the dead and dying that lay scattered among the blood-soaked battlefield.
The men from both armies could only watch in horror as this unholy thing moved from body to body for some ghastly unknown purpose. Years after, legends of old Green Eyes would speak of a ghoulish creature drawn to the area by the blood spilled of those dark days, while others claim the creature has always been there, but simply was awakened by the war's carnage. How creepy is that?
Especially the part about how the creature has always been there. Always right? been there. Oh my God, how big was the creature?
Well, it was human size in height, but very thin, very, very, you know, emaciated. You know, apparently they could see the bones through its skin. You know, when you get very thin people, maybe anorexic people, where you could literally see their bones through their skin. Mm. Okay, that's what it looked like. Mm. And, you know, the drawings of this, believe it or not, I don't know if you're an Iron Maiden fan, the band Iron Maiden, but they have this character named Eddie on there. And this creature seemed to look like Eddie with green eyes, a skeletal head with stringy long hair, you know, much like every, you know, 80s rock star. But nonetheless, I mean, I have a feeling, and I have a theory on this one, is that this was some sort of angel of death. Now, I'm not saying it was from the good side or the bad side of the spiritual world, but the fact that this was hovering over bodies and those who were getting ready to die, it was almost like this was there to help take their soul out of their body. And that is just defining. When you add to the fact that this was called the River of Death, okay, it does make more sense that this creature would be there for the spirits and the souls that are still wandering from losing their life along this waterway.
And do you have a second story, another story for us?
For you, I yes. do. We're going to go back to September of 1965 along the Han River in Da Nang, Vietnam. As the Vietnam War was raging on, two personnel from the 311th Air Commando Squadron of the 315th Air Command Group, as well as several members of the United States Marine Corps, they leave the U.S. Air Force Base in Da Nang, now the Da Nang International Airport, in a helicopter and begin heading east. They're flying low over the Han River. The group then notices something very weird in the water below. This giant thing that was snaking its way down the river. It was huge, bright yellow, a serpent-like creature, propelling itself through the river's dark waters with use of its four large flippers and powerful tail. However, more striking was the creature's sheer size, with witnesses describing it as an 80-foot-long monster. Yeah, a monster.
80 feet,
my
Whoa.
Friend.
Whoa.
Yeah, the sighting was filed with the United States Army and archived under Sea Serpent. Years later, the documents of this sighting were declassified, but the creature still remains unidentified. And what's weird about this, number one, is we see these creatures popping up all over the place, including right here in British Columbia, where a creature called the Cadborosaurus seems to take the line from Alaska, all on the outside of the British Columbia Islands, right down to the northern tip of California, that seems to have its oceanography running that way in order to just be there. I mean, do we have sea monsters that are real? I mean, we have to remember more than 80% of the ocean has not been discovered yet. We don't know what's there. And so it's a little creepy to think that there could be some 80-foot-long creatures swimming in the rivers, the lakes, the oceans of the world, and we have no clue.
No clue. All right, that's Dave Scott. How do I find you on YouTube?
YouTube, Spaced Out Radio, our Instagram is Spaced Out Radio Show, and if you need to email us, it's info@spacedoutradio.com.
The great Dave Scott, broadcaster in Canada, expert on all things metaphysics, Sterling every damn Sunday. Oh, Sterling, every-
James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. For our first Florida Story, we go down to the coast where there's been several sightings of a new species of salamander. It has its gills externally on its head, and it looks so freakish, so ugly, that your initial instinct as a human being is to grab the nearest big object and beat it to death while screaming like Braveheart. Go look it up. It's called a reticulated siren. It's absolutely terrifyingly ugly. Looks like it was burped out of the gates of hell. That's a good start. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going down to Columbia County, where the sheriff's office is saying an 11-year-old Florida boy has been charged with manslaughter for allegedly shooting his friend and then falsely stating that his friend came at him with a knife. It was an accidental shooting. The kid had taken the magazine out, but there was one in the chamber, and he didn't think about it. Horrible, god-awful, tragic story. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we go down to the Brevard Zoo. A child falls into the rhino exhibit. How old do you think this kid is? 14? 9? Remember when the 4-year-old fell in the gorilla pen? The girl was 2 years old. The only other details I have is the zookeeper confirms a rhino's snout did make contact with the 2-year-old girl, and the girl's mother was injured jumping in trying to help. Sounds like they're going to be okay, though. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going down to Isla Morada. It's located in the Florida Keys. And a fisherman says he just came back from a fishing trip on Saturday when he noticed a large package floating under a dock. Turns out it's about 60 pounds of cocaine. And shockingly, for a Florida man, he just turned around and turned it into the cops. I mean, that's what he says. He may have just had a hell of a weekend and then turned the rest into the cops, but still pretty Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we go down to Tampa, Florida. 4 men were arrested and accused of stealing more than $500,000 of Patron tequila. They were just unloading an unattended semi like it's a scene in Goodfellas, and they got busted. And I did save the best for last. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our last Florida story, we're going down to Collier County, Florida. Florida woman says she is God, robs postal worker with a toy gun. Collier County Sheriff's deputies received a call about a woman pointing a gun at people. When they arrived on the scene, they found Florida woman riding a tricycle and holding a black and silver plastic toy handgun. Officers detained her, and when handcuffed, she told them she was God. And the deputies did return the package to the postal worker.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Lesbians in space, Sterling every damn night.
Now I'm going to have to start charging you rent. You're just living for free. In my mind. Kind of don't mind, though.
There's Suzanne in Camden County at 855-839-1210. I have a problem. I have an indoor cat that went out, and I can't get her back in yet. Advice from Suzanne. Welcome to the big show.
Hi. Hi. You're getting a lot of good advice. It sounds like when she's back, you need to take her to the vet to see if she's pregnant. Has she been spayed?
She's been spayed.
Okay. I would still take her to the vet.
Okay.
Yeah. But how long has she been gone?
24 hours.
Okay. Well, she will be okay. And I would take a walk around your neighborhood more than once.
Right.
Her cat carrier, if you would put that out.
Right.
And leave the door open.
Right.
And maybe put her food and a blanket in there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said something about the shelters. What I would do is also check for your local shelters and tell them just to cover the bases.
I will do that. Thank you. I hope you're wrong, but I will do that.
Well, I would just take every precaution.
Right.
And I'm sure she will be back.
I feel it, too. Like, I don't have that thing in my stomach of being afraid that she won't. My instincts tell me she will be back, and I agree with you. So thank you very much. What did I want to ask you? Oh, yeah. Suzanne, how's life? How are you doing?
Well, it just seems like everything is happening, and there's a lot of bad things that are going on that we all have to deal with. And this, it's just not how we would expect life to be. But possibly we'll all make it through it. If that makes any sense, I hope it does. But,
This week, spiritually, has felt very jumbled, very out of order, very out of sorts. Not illogical, but wow, this is a lot of crap all at once, sort of like a big pile of pickup sticks where nothing's in order and you're afraid to pull anything out.
Well, actually, I think I saw a drone earlier tonight. So I know that that's been out of the news for quite a while.
Yes.
But there's just so much. Basically, I step back and I'm a watcher. I watch what's going on.
Right.
And like with what happened with Charlie Kirk.
Horrible. Horrible. Suzanne, thank you very much for calling Sterling every damn night. Thank you for calling at 855-839-1210. Pete in Philadelphia, welcome to Sterling every damn night. Pete.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
How are you, Walter? How are you doing? I just want to let you know about, I don't know if you've done this, maybe, at nighttime when it's not too much going on, maybe, your cat might not be that distracted. And if you ever used a dish to draw the cat in for food, like a bell, you put a, that's what I did with our cat, a spoon on the edge of a ceramic dish. And then I whistle. I don't know if you've done that. These are only suggestions I could think of that might work. We had our cat was a, somebody had a cat that they just got rid of him. You know, around the neighborhood because he was very friendly, so somebody must have owned him. And he got out for like a day, mm-hmm. and I thought that was the end of that. And next day he was back. I think it was at nighttime though. That's right.
Well, you're right. You're right. That's when I've had the best luck the two or three times other cats have gotten out. But as I've said to the 13-year-old, I said, listen, the cat's going to come back because at some point she'll realize this is a really good deal. And this is a really, no one bothers her. She sleeps where she wants. She eats where she wants. Right. Pete, it's very, very generous of you to think about this. Thank you very much for calling 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Yeah, one of my three cats decided to go for a walk yesterday and hasn't come back yet. And I've just gotten great suggestions from you, Midnight Misfits, on how to get the cat back in. Thank you for that. Now, what I want to tell you. I have a website. It's waltersterlingshow.com. If you didn't know it, this is a three-hour radio show on Sunday nights. If the station you're listening to is only scheduled it for two, it's your job to call them and scream. Call them tomorrow, yell, say we expect to hear it for 3 hours. Let's see. Sean, how much time I got here? All right. And what else do I want to mention to you? I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And we're here every Sunday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at KFBK in California. But on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, the worst name in the history of radio. On the Audacy app, you can hear me every night. I do a live show every night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. I'm here six nights a week. I don't know what your favorite host is, but I'll bet you it's five nights a week. Whereas I'm here every Sunday from six nights a week. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Smarty books, lusty books, get cozy with Thea Landon.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels. Wide panes of glass stretched from floor to ceiling, offering a majestic view of the white-capped waves. Ro paced back and forth in front of the windows. From her vantage point in the house on the hill, she could see patches of parched grass leading down to the expanse of golden sands. Buildings of various sizes stood on the beach, nestled against the rising mound of land. One low, flat structure held her attention. She kept her gaze trained on it as she moved about the spacious room. Lights flashed in the corner window once, twice, three times. It was the signal she'd been waiting for. She sprinted through the open doorway, down the spiral staircase, and out the front door. The soles of her sneakers slapped against the worn brick path. A salty breeze ruffled her chin-length hair as she wound her way down the steep hill. At the bottom, she veered to the left and ran parallel to the sparkling sea. Tiny cottages flanked the crumbling road at irregular intervals. She concentrated on her destination at the end of the lane. A large tree drooped over the juncture of sand and stone, nearly shielding the last dilapidated bungalow from view. Ro ducked beneath the shade of its branches and stopped to catch her breath. Leaning against the trunk, she fanned her sweaty cheeks with her hands and waited. Moments later, a second pair of footsteps approached. A tall figure joined her in the shadows and captured her lips in a smoldering kiss before she could speak any words of greeting. The feeling of breathlessness came back as she returned the kiss with fervor. Her knees grew weak, and she had to pull away before the dizziness overtook her. "I was starting to think I wouldn't see you today," she said, panting. "I had a lot of work to do." Devin grinned. "Your well-to-do friend bought another old vehicle he doesn't need. It's a mess, but I think I can work my magic on it." Ro rolled her eyes. "I'll never understand you men and your cars, or your scooters, or any other shiny toys which cost a lot of money." "Hey, those toys are what sends the money flowing in my direction, remember?" He wagged a finger at her in a mocking gesture. "So, if I were you, I'd watch my mouth," he teased. She stepped closer to him and slid her arms around his neck. "And if I were you, I wouldn't be telling me what to do with my mouth. You never know. I could suddenly start feeling less generous with it." "Oh, really?" Devin moved in to kiss her again, and she turned her head to the side. His lips grazed her jawbone as he embraced her. "What were you planning on using it for?" I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels, which is available at Amazon and at thealandon.com. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts, as well as complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/thealandon. And don't forget, you can always send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's find out what happens next. Her muscles tensed, and she fought to ignore the heady rush sweeping over her when he licked and nipped a path along her neck. His fine blonde hair tickled her skin, and she breathed in its familiar scent. I guess you'll never find out now. His hands slipped inside her shirt, exploring her bare flesh. Ro squirmed beneath his roaming touch and held onto his broad shoulders for support. He reached behind her and fondled her hips, pulling her alongside his body. "What if I apologize profusely?" he murmured near her ear. "Will you forgive me?" She felt him pressing against her. "Maybe." He nudged her backwards, pinning her to the tree trunk. When he attempted another kiss, she didn't resist. As their tongues engaged in a playful battle, he skimmed one hand up her stomach to cup her chest, and she shuddered. "How about now?" he said. Ro sighed, feigning melodrama. "Oh, fine. I suppose I can forgive this one transgression." She giggled, but her laughter was short-lived. "Besides, we don't have a lot of time. He's coming back from the city today, and I don't want to greet him looking like, well, looking like his mechanic just gave me a good hard screw." "You did always have a way with words." Devin removed his hand from the inside of her blouse. "I understand, even if it means you've been getting me all riled up for nothing." "I didn't say that." In an instant, she whirled around and reversed their positions, shoving him against the tree. "You did come all the way out here, after all. If I don't make it worth your while, you may not return. You know nothing could keep me away from you." He toyed with the ends of her hair as she covered his neck with kisses. "A little longer, and we'll be together all the time." It was a promise she'd heard many times before, yet she was unperturbed. Her hands snuck beneath them and tugged at the waistband of his pants. A soft groan rumbled in his chest. Ro teased him further, walking her fingers along the length of his zipper. "Tell me more," she said. He inhaled sharply as she popped open the button. "I love you. I'm tired of sneaking around to see you, and I want to fix that. What else do you need to know?" "Good enough." She finished unfastening the closures. Every part of him had always been irresistible. She sank to her knees, encircling her fingers around him as she lowered herself down. "Oh, I think I'd better stop here tonight, but you know you can always have more." That was an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels, which is available at Amazon and at thealandon.com. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts that don't cut off in all the best places, plus complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/thealandon. And don't forget to send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night, from coast to coast, America's most peculiar radio host. When Sterling's on the air, the ratings are super high, and no program director can ever figure out why. Sterling Every Damn Night, from coast to coast, America's most peculiar radio host.
Sterling Every Damn Night.
Phoenix, Arizona is the home of, well, a wonderful Walmart. A lot of your neighborhood Walmarts, they've got a bank in there. You've seen that, a lot of different banks. And that's wonderful, smiling people. You can do your banking and do your shopping all in one place. So a 19-year-old rolled into the Walmart on Cottonwood in beautiful Phoenix. His name, Jonathan Pervescu. He's taken into custody after a weeks-long investigation by the Cottonwood police. Pervescu is facing robbery and theft charges, being held on a $25,000 bond. Okay, there's a lot of people inside Walmart, so everyone's seeing you. There's cameras everywhere. Not just your normal bank robbing cameras that your normal bank has on the corner right there of whatever big block you have, Main and Birch, whatever that is in your neighborhood, in your little town, or big city. So Walmart has cameras everywhere. Plus, you're being seen in the parking lot because they've got cameras all over there as well. I am guessing that this was a crime of convenience. Then all of a sudden, the guy looked around and said, you know what? I could rob this thing, and did it. He's 19 years old. 19-year-olds can be a little doggone impulsive, especially if they're chock full of that testosterone. And perhaps they had a great evening where they were dressed up like a Care Bear. Huh. Yeah, could this feller be a furry? I don't know. All I can say is this, he's stupid. If you're going to rob a bank, follow these tips. Have a getaway car that's likely stolen or borrowed from your cousin Ernie. Do not park in the parking lot. Park about a block and a half away to the back so they don't have a good look at what your vehicle is and what you look like. Change clothes, drive away, and you could be a very, very rich man. Little bank robbing tips. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night. It's Florida Stories. Florida Stories. Alligators. Florida Stories.
I'm James Parker. Welcome to Florida Stories.
For our next story, we're going to Seminole, where this couple is in, they have a condo. This is what you do. Apparently, when you turn 60 and you're rich enough to retire early, you go to one of these communities and there's a 60 and a 61-year-old couple. And the wife has had quite a bit to drink and she's feeling lovey-dovey. She wants to, you know, just because she's 60 doesn't mean she's dead. And they have a picture over here, by the way. Sean, you would say you wouldn't turn her down, but the husband does. So the wife gets mad, starts screaming at him. He attempts to leave the situation. So when he's trying to get out the house, she tries to get in front of him, grabs him, knees him in the groin. Ouch. So he gets out the house. He's trying to get in the car. She gets up to him again, knees him in the groin again. Listen, lady, if you're trying to get him in the mood, that's not going to help.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What
is this? For our next Florida story, we have another weird situation. This time it's a 62-year-old and a 32-year-old. They're dudes. They're roommates. Not like that. Not like the previous couple. But the older guy is coughing. The younger guy is making pizza. And he's making it from scratch. He is kneading his own dough in pizza. 32-year-old guy. Can you believe that? Well, he doesn't like the way his roommate's coughing. It upsets him. So he takes the pizza dough and he throws it and it hits him in the face. And the roommate calls the cops, and you can go to jail for hitting someone in the face with pizza dough. It doesn't help that a year ago, the cops got called on him because he punched his roommate in the face for coughing in a very annoying manner. But these are the things that go on in Florida. While you and I are just having a normal day, going to work, doing the 9-to-5, picking up the kids, taking them to soccer practice, there's people getting arrested over pizza dough, people getting arrested over not sleeping with their wife, people getting arrested for falling off drunk off a dolphin sightseeing boat. Florida's a special case.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is this?
Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Email waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Now the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zandt, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brooke, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Yarkaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production.